we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you had a good weekend. We hope that you was able to get everything done that you needed done on Saturday. All of your shopping, all your cooking, the cleaning, the washing, the fixing the cars, going to the ball game, whatever you need to do, hopefully you was able to get that done on Saturday. Then hopefully you was able to get to church. You went to church on Sunday morning. You know, if you want to get your week really started off to a good start, go to church on Sunday morning. Yes, yes, it's good to have, you know, listen to it on the radio. It's good to listen to it on television, watch it on television. But it's nothing like that worship experience. It's nothing like being in the presence of God, among God's people, worshiping God in a spirit of holiness. Oh, yeah. So hopefully you was able to go to church on yesterday. And hopefully your pastor preached a wonderful message. Oh, yes, he did. You say, oh, he didn't preach like he normally preach. Well, sometimes it bees that way. But see, sometimes there needs to be a change up, just like a pitcher. A pitcher, he don't just throw fastballs all the time. He don't throw curveballs all the time. He changes it up. He changes it up. And so just look at yesterday's sermon as a change up. And then pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Pastors are people. They are human beings just like everybody else. And they go through stuff. So it's no telling what your pastor was going through. And so you be in prayer for your pastor. You love your pastor. You do something nice for your pastor. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. This is the day that we kind of focus in on our hot topic. And we got a good discussion for you today. A good hot topic. But before I get into that, let me give you some contact information just in case you have a hot topic, just in case you have a Bible question, marriage question, a question about the Sunday school, or a question pertaining to the Christian life. You can email them in to me right here, BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right. Today's hot topic is Ferguson, the new Selma. What a question. Is Ferguson the new Selma? Just five words there. Is Ferguson, Missouri, the new Selma, Alabama? That's the question. And that was an article that was taken out of a newspaper there in Alabama. You know, we're coming up on the anniversary weekend. We're coming up on the anniversary. You know, it was March 29, 1965, that Martin Luther King and a lot of other civil rights workers and leaders, they led a march all the way from Selma, Alabama, all the way to Montgomery, Alabama. And so we're coming up on that anniversary. And so this article is Ferguson, Missouri. And you can recall last year that problem that happened over there in Ferguson, Missouri, when that police killed that 18-year-old young man, Michael Brown. And so President Obama, even former President Bush, they're going to go to Selma, Alabama, and they're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of what has become known now as Bloody Sunday. You remember when the police and the highway patrols and state troopers and how they beat up on those marchers, how they was trying to march across the Pettus Bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge. They was trying to cross it, and in one sense, the dogs came out, and I'm talking about the polices. The polices came out, and they started beating up on the people, and they turned those marchers around. And then Martin Luther King, he came the following week, and he led a march, and he turned around. And then the next time when he led the march, they made it all the way from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery. They made it all the way. And that was to help initiate the voters' rights bill. And so that's kind of what this article is all about. It's asking, is the Ferguson, Missouri, because you know they the civil rights workers, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the NAACP, they marched there in Ferguson, Missouri last year. And so they was asking, is this the new Selma? They was interviewing in this article John Lewis, who was a student back then. He was a student activist, and he led one of the civil rights movement. He's a congressman today, and he still got some scars, because they kind of broke his skull when they hit him in the head. He spoke on this new thing. This is what he said. He said racism never went anywhere. Racism just took a nap. And when it woke up, we were watching all those stupid reality shows. We let everything pass by us, and then we complain. This was by Lyndon Lowry, who marched in Selma at 15, and she was one of the youngest marchers. And so I'm sorry, that was not John Lewis, that was Lyndon Lowry. She was 15 then, so she's about 65 now. She was one of the marchers. And Andrew Young had this to say. He was one of Martin Luther King, you know, closest aides and organizers with the Southern Leadership Conference. He said, Selma just gave us the right to vote. But if you don't vote and don't take advantage of that right, you still living in pre-Selma age. That's what Young said. African American voted at a higher rate than non-Hispanic whites in 2012. We voted 66%, 66.2% versus 64% of Hispanics. But this was when Obama was on the ballot. But voters' turnout was down in last year midterm election, roughly 3 months after Brown was killed. And the in the local election in Ferguson, fewer than 1,484 of the town's 12,096 registered voters cast votes in the last mayor election. So our people don't vote. A lot of black folks don't vote. So even though Martin Luther King and John Lewis and all of those people, they put their life on the line, did it really matter? Because a lot of our people don't vote. We're not voting. So did they die in vain? I can't answer all of that, but one thing is clear. Black America is in a crisis. I don't believe they died in vain. But we are in a crisis today, ladies and gentlemen. And so in order really to fix the race problem, that race problem in Ferguson, they still got a race problem there in Selma, we're going to have to acknowledge that the black American is in a crisis. Black America is in a crisis. And so in order for us to fix that race problem, we're going to have to fix this problem in our community. As a matter of fact, I jot down a couple of things this morning. See, I think the first major problem in our community is that this new generation don't know the Lord. That's the main problem. You know, when I look at black people in America, it's like looking at the children of Israel. Did you hear what I said? I say, when I look at black people in America, it's just like looking at the children of Israel, because it looks like our lives parallel their lives. You know, they was in bondage there in Egypt land. They was treated like slaves to Pharaoh. That was a race problem. There was Hebrews and Egyptians. Same thing in America. We was treated like slaves. We was African American slaves to white folks here in America. But then God brought about deliverance. He raised up a Moses, and Moses delivered the people. And then he brought on Joshua, and they took him on into the promised land. And that's what basically happened to black people in America. God raised up people like Abraham Lincoln that freed the slaves, and raised up people like Martin Luther King. And they didn't make it to the promised land, but we made it to the promised land. But now that we done got to the promised land, we done forgot about God. That's what happened with the children of Israel. Once they got to the promised land, they forgot all about God. The Bible says that there arose a new generation. Matter of fact, let me read it to you over there in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And also that generation was gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, not yet the works which he had done for Israel." That's where we're at today, ladies and gentlemen. There is a new generation. Our children, our grandchildren, they don't know the Lord. The children today, they are so spoiled. We done spoiled our children. We have given them everything that they could ever want, that they could ever dream. And now, you know, they act so spoiled. That's the only way I can put it. The children today, they are so spoiled. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. There arose a generation that didn't know the Lord back after Joshua had died. And that's what has happened today. The people, they don't know the Lord, and they don't know history. They don't know history. They don't know our black history. They don't know the struggles. They don't know the values of voting. They don't know the value of getting involved. See, if you don't know your history, somebody said you are doomed to repeat it. If you don't know, it's just like, you know, we said the other week, if you don't know the purpose of a fence, you don't know the reason why they put that fence down, put that fence up, then don't take that fence down until you know the reason they put it up, because you could be getting ready to let something out that need to be kept in. Oh, yeah, beloved. So that's the first problem that I see. I see that this new generation, they don't know the Lord. And so we're going to have to get our kids back involved in Sunday school. We're going to have to get them back involved in Bible study. Because, they done went plumb wild. They know the top 10 songs, but they don't know the top 10 commandments. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get our kids. We can't just send them to church. We got to take them to church. And we got to be there. We got to be the example for them. We got to be better examples. And so that's the first thing, ladies and gentlemen. We got to help folks, this new generation, get to know the Lord and get to know our history. But number two, there's rebelliousness and lawlessness in the black community. Yeah. If we're going to fix this black community, whether it's Selma or whether it's Washington, D.C., or whether it's Atlanta, we're going to have to fix these rebelliousness and lawlessness that's in our community. I'm reminded of when Jesse Jackson first moved from Chicago to Washington, D.C. Jesse Jackson said that he saw some guys some black guys approaching him, walking down the sidewalk. He was going one way, they was coming another way, and they was getting ready to meet. And these guys, they had their baggy pants on, they were sagging, and they looked like thugs. And Jesse Jackson said that he had fear in his heart. He was afraid of young boys, of men that was a lot younger than him. He was afraid of those boys. Listen, that's what's happening today. We are afraid of our children. Why? Because our children got rebelliousness and lawlessness. Now, you think about it. If a black man is afraid of some other black men, what do you think about white folks? White folks are afraid of black people. Why is that? Well, we done brought it, a lot of this on ourselves, because we glorify a lot of this rebelliousness in television, a lot of these shows, a lot of the black shows on television. They say anything, they do anything, they act any kind of way. If you see that, if you was white and you seeing all of this cursing, all of this baggy pants, all of the shooting and the killing and the stabbing, how we treat one another, and this is how we treat one another on television, just think how they feel. Just think how they feel if they white and they meeting people, whether it's in the black people in the daytime or in the dark. They're afraid of us. So we're going to have to change that, ladies and gentlemen. See, just like that scripture over there in Judges. I read that scripture over in Judges chapter 2. But read over there in Judges at the end of the book of Judges. Judges 21. Judges 21. Judges 21 and verse number 25. Judges 21 and judge 25. Actually, it's the last verse of the book of Judges. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because they didn't have no king in Israel, everybody just done what they want to do. In other words, rebelliousness. You couldn't tell them what to do. Lawlessness. Rebelliousness was in the land. That's what's happening today, ladies and gentlemen. Our kids, our youngsters, they are rebellious. They are acting lawless. You can't tell them. Listen, when you can't tell a child what to do at home, then you can't tell them what to do in the streets, or you can't tell them what to do there at school, then it's hard to tell them what to do when they're out there in the world. It starts at home, though. It starts at home. So we got to fix that, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. We got to fix that. You know, the Staples Singers used to sing a song, Respect Yourself. Listen, before white people going to respect us, we got to respect ourselves. Our boys, we got to pull our pants up. Our girls, we got to lengthen your dress and keep your dress down. We gotta fix, cover your bosoms there, ladies. Ladies, cover your bosom there. You got it cut too short. You're cutting it too short. You're letting any and everybody see whatever they want to see. Cover yourself. Respect yourself. Muslims don't even respect black folks because they say that our ladies don't know how to dress. Our boys don't know how to dress. They think they got to come over here from the Middle East to teach us how to dress. Because they say we don't know how to dress. Listen. We got to start respecting ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. We got to respect ourselves. And then the last thing, we got to get our churches back on track. That's whether it's in Selma, whether it's in Atlanta, whether it's in Ferguson, Washington, D.C., Detroit, New Orleans. We got to get our churches back on track. See, our churches done got off track. See, what was it that led the civil rights movement 50, 60 years ago? It was the black church. people respected black ministers. They respected the black church. The black church was a force to be reckoned with. We made all of our civil rights gain because of the black church. The black God was working through the black church. But churches today, people don't fear the church. People don't respect the church. Why? Because churches today done got off track. Churches are entertainment centers. They are a center of a marketplace than truly being an educational, spiritual life development center. We done got all off track. We done got all off track. The church used to make a difference in the community. It was a light that was set up on a hill. And when a light is set up on a hill, it can't be hid. But today the light done went out. So we gotta put the light back in the church. See, we got too much entertainment going on in the church. We got too much marketplace. It's market driven today. In other words, it's all about what's popular. The survey says, it's just kind of like Family Feud. Survey says this, that's what we're going to do there at the church. If they say they want these kind of messages, survey said these kind of messages, that's what we preach. And then we got all this selling. We done set the church up like a flea market. We got we're selling these tapes, we're selling these books, we're selling this, we're selling that, we're selling this, we're pushing this and we're pushing that. When you go to church, you don't know if you're going to get a sermon coming out of the holy book or a sermon that's coming from a book that the pastor done wrote. Listen, that's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Jesus, when he came, it was like that in his day. But what Jesus did, when Jesus made it there to Jerusalem, he took a whip and he whipped the money changers out of that temple. He whipped them out, he turned over some tables, turned over some seats, and he whipped them people out the temple. He cleaned house, and then Jesus started teaching. He started preaching. Then folks was able to get saved. They were able to get delivered. They was able to get set free. The blind was able to be healed. They could see now. The lame could walk. The deaf could hear and talk. Jesus worked all kind of miracles, all because he cleaned the church. He cleaned the temple so that the temple could be what he had called it to be. You know, I believe that's what Jesus is wanting to do today. I believe Jesus is wanting to clean up the church house so that folks can come to the church and hear a word of God, and they can truly be set free. They can be delivered. They can be saved. They can be what God is calling them to be. But too many of the churches today are set up like Jesus called them, a den of thieves, a hideout for thieves. We gotta get the devil out. We gotta kick the devil out. And when we kick the devil out, then God can come in. So I believe that if we're going to deal with this race problem in America, let's deal first of all with the crisis or the problem that's in the black community. And I believe that if we can teach this new generation, if we can teach them who the Lord is, and then teach them to respect themselves, and then clean up the church, then I believe that we can fix this race problem in America. Well, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. Hopefully something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right. At 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. At 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. At 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. And then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.